Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this final Sunday of September. We are getting to the end of this month, into October. We've passed on Monday, autumn. We are now into that season. All around the church right now, you see combines going and harvesting happening, and just the season. I just love it. I think it's beautiful. Hope you had a good week. A few announcements as we begin today. The first one is next Sunday at 6 o'clock over at me and Carrie's house across the parking lot. We invite any of you who are interested in learning more about the church, becoming more a part of some things, or even considering officially joining and becoming a member of the church, come on over to our house. We'll have an evening of desserts and coffee and a chance to get to know one another, and then also to talk about those things in the church. And so if you want to come, that's 6 o'clock next Sunday night. We're also collecting this month. Over the next few weeks, we're collecting new socks, new underwear, and laundry detergent. And we're going to do that for our community closet, which services about 45 different families or so within District 145. And we will be having some distribution days coming up here in a few weeks that you can even help volunteer at to help get everything. There's a whole bunch of clothes. People come in, and there's about 5 sets of clothes that each kid gets. The families pick out what they want, and it's really amazing how much has been donated from local organizations and grants, and then people who've given things. And so families get to go through and pick out a lot of different clothes for the fall and the winter season. And then also we give them these new underwear, new socks, and laundry detergent too. There's even toiletries. We have connected to another organization that gives out all of these other things too. So it's beautiful to see the community come together in this. So if you want to be a part of that, or if you have something to donate, bring it in the next few weeks. And then the last announcement I want to mention is that on the final Sunday of October, so 1 month from now, I think it's October 26th, from 4 to 7 p.m., we're going to have our fall festival and trunk or treat. We do both at the same time, and we'll have, you know, just a lot of food and fun and activities for the kids, and it's a great time. So just mark your calendars, try to come out and join us for that. That's Sunday, October 26th from 4 to 7 p.m. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me now to Exodus chapter 15. We are going to look at verses 22 to 27 today. And we're in a fall sermon series here on the names of God that appear throughout Scripture, the different names that describe who He is and what He is wanting to do in our lives. Today, the name that we're going to look at is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals you. And we're going to look deeper at all that means. And this is going to be the first time that name of God appears in Scripture. And so it is Exodus 15, 22 to 27. God's people have been just delivered out of Egypt. They've crossed the sea, the Red Sea, where God parted it. Now they're in the wilderness, and things are difficult. And this is what it says. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert. And for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding any water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And Moses cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw that into the water, and the water suddenly became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and an instruction for the people, putting them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, and if you pay attention to His commands and keep His decrees, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And then the people came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So we're in the middle of this fall sermon series on the names of God. And just to be clear, there's just one God. But as we read through Scripture, we find that He is given different names or titles to help us really know Him better, who He is and what He wants to do. Well, today we're on the eighth name in our series, Jehovah Rapha. It is the Lord who heals you. This is the first time we read this name for God in the Bible, and it comes up in a scripture here where we see that the Israelites in the wilderness are suddenly in need. They are desperate for water. Water, as we know, means life. We all need water to live. Without water, we die. Well, the Israelites, they leave Egypt and they head into the wilderness, but it says they go 3 days without finding any water. Now, this is a very serious thing. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of these Israelites all together. What makes it worse is that when they finally find water, it is bitter. It is undrinkable, full of bacteria or something there. It was making them sick. The purpose of the water, you know, is to give life. But here the water is only making them sick. They can't drink it. So Moses cries out to the Lord, and notice it is the Lord who shows him exactly what to do. He shows Moses a piece of wood, and when Moses throws that wood into the water, it almost acts like a filter or something, but suddenly it cures the water, it restores it, and it makes it healthy again and drinkable, able to replenish the Israelites. They are refreshed by the now living water. And it is God Himself then who says to the people this name, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. If you listen to me, he says, and follow me and do what I tell you, I will keep you from the diseases that fell upon Egypt. You know, we find in the Bible that the Lord is our shepherd. He is our creator. He is our teacher. He is our savior. He is our father. He is our defender. Well, here in this scripture, he is our healer. He is our doctor. The name Jehovah Rapha, that word Rapha in the Hebrew, is actually a really wonderful word if you have a chance to study it. It means to heal, but really it's bigger than that. It actually means to make whole again. It means to restore or to repair something. It is a word that is used when something is damaged or sick or broken even, and it means to make it well, to repair it, to make it whole again. It's an awesome word. I think it's another way of even looking at what it means to be sick. Sick means something has gone wrong. Right? Something isn't working like it's meant to, whether in our body or in our world. In our scripture, the water is bitter. It has gone bad. It was created to give life to people, but when the Israelites needed it, it actually only made them sick. Something had gone wrong. It needs fixed, repaired, so that it can bring life again when people drink it. And that is what we see in our scripture for today, is that the Israelites come to a place that should give them what they need. But instead, the water is bitter. They can't drink it, and so they grumble. But what they need to do instead of complain is just turn to the Lord, who is the one who can fix broken things, the one who can make things whole again, make bad things good, make unclean things clean. He can restore, repair, and heal. And so Moses does that. Moses looks to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord for help. And what does the Lord do? He shows him a piece of wood, and if thrown into the water, it makes the water healthy again, which in turn makes the people healthy. The Lord fixes the problem, like a repairman or like a doctor. This is the meaning behind the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, who restores you, repairs you. You see, he heals more than just our bodies. He goes straight to the source. He has the answer for it. He heals not just our body, but he also heals our lives, doesn't he? You know, he's the answer for our broken relationships, our communities who have lost the thing that once made them special. The answer to what is broken is always him. If we turn to him, he's going to heal our land. He will bind up our broken hearts, and he will fix the thing that is will allow us to once, you know, again, love or to trust or to care. He will heal our anxious and our troubled mind that is stuck in that place and bring us peace once again, which he created and wants for us. He will be able to show us truth once again. He'll be able to heal the broken family, mend what has been torn apart, restore our way. You see, this is all behind the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. You know, a few years ago, I was sick all the time physically. I was getting colds. I was losing my voice. I was congested. It just seemed like throughout the entire fall and winter, it was really getting in the way of my work. I speak all the time. People were coming up to me and just concerned. And so I finally caved and I went to the doctor. I went to Emily in Waverly and she examined me. And we tried a few things, and she sent me to an allergy and an asthma specialist as well. And I had, only been by myself before I went to her. I'd only been, you know, kind of dealing with the symptoms, you know, trying to deal with that with little things that I knew. But she got right to the problem inside that was causing it, the source. And actually, there was a lady in our church, Malibu McCormick. She's the first one because she had had this problem before in her life until she got treated and got an inhaler and some other things that really helped her, some allergy medicine. And so she pointed me in the right direction. And then the doctor was able to identify the source of the problem. And the next thing I know, I am just so much better. I am just so much better. Well, in my faith, too, my Christian faith, I know that there's a deeper problem sometimes, right? That only it's sin, and only the Lord can get to that problem to really help me. And so he knows what I really need. He is the one who ultimately is the healer, not just of the physical that guided me to that doctor and had Malibu speak in my life, but also the spiritual, the deep things, the broken hearts, the grieving that we go through that we can't seem to get through and find healing, the hurt that we're in, the confusion in our minds. Where's the answer? The Lord. Jehovah Rapha, he is the healer, the one, the repair person who can fix it. He knows what we really need. He can restore that relationship that we have no clue what to do next in. He can, only he can. He points us to where and to how. And sometimes he uses other people, but it's really him. Even and especially in those spiritual things, he gets to the root cause of them and can restore joy to a person and peace and faith again and love again, who we were all created to be. I love watching the TV shows of people who restore old classic cars, and they give new life to these rusted out and broken down treasures that have not seen the road in decades. They find them, they bring them into the shop, and they don't just make them right shiny on the outside, no, but they go and they fix all the problems on the inside. They clean out the engines or put in a brand new one. They repair and replace all the broken parts and wires and plugs and seat cushions and glass. They love on that thing and work on that thing, and it is restored and becomes an amazing work of art, often bringing tears to its new owner, right? Well, Carrie and I also love to watch the shows that they do that with houses, and how this now, you know, neglected home over the decades is now lovingly cared for again, and the foundation up. They don't just put a new coat of paint on a rickety old house, but they restore the foundation. They put in new walls, sometimes a new design, and what had been worn down and neglected and broken and even unlivable now lovingly is repaired and brought back to new life again. for another family to now enjoy. And I just love that. Well, you see, that is our God. This is behind the name Jehovah Rapha. This is what he does in our lives and what he wants to do in our world. If we turn to him in Christ, he can breathe whole new life into dead bones. He can make us brand new. He lovingly restores us. We are healed like this, not just in body, but in soul and in mind and in heart and for eternity. It's in how we do life. He can do this in our communities that are transformed by the work of Christ in us and in our churches and neighborhoods. They begin to look and to feel different. It's God at work in those places. Christ in us, you know, and he's healing one maybe part at a time, remaking us from the inside out by his Spirit and through his word and his people. Grace and truth begin to go out and heal every part of me. He can take what is bitter and has gone bad and heal and restore and revive and renew. Some other great Bible verses that speak about this is Amos 9:11, where the Lord says, "I will repair its broken places and restore its ruins." The Lord says, "He'll do it." Or Jeremiah 31:3-4, that says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt." The Lord does it. Isaiah 58:11-12 says, "The Lord will guide you. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen you. You'll become like a well-watered garden again, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations. For in me you will be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets and dwellings." I love this verse because we see that not only is the Lord the answer for our sick and broken places, even in society, but it says that when we turn to the Lord, he not only heals our life, but then he uses us to go out and to restore others. We become part of the way that he begins to restore and rebuild streets and dwellings and us. This is our new name, our new work. He begins to do a work through us. Another good verse about this healing is 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." He will heal our land. His name is Jehovah Rapha. Only the Lord can really heal our land. Only he can restore, repair all that is broken and make us whole again. Turn bitter water into clean and good and drinkable water. Our sin and selfishness and violence and greed and wickedness of our heart, we gotta repent of those things and call out to him, because only he can truly heal us and our neighborhoods. For he's the one who created us. He knows exactly how we work. And he sees exactly what is broken. He is the great physician. He doesn't guess. He knows exactly what we need. I think of that piece of wood that Moses threw into that bitter water that healed the water and made it clean. And I don't know, I may be reading too much into it, but it makes me think of the cross. That too was a piece of wood, wasn't it? That our Savior carried up the hill 2,000 years ago and was crucified upon. And by his blood, I am healed. I am cleansed of all of my sin. By faith in him, all of us are now made clean, pure, righteous, restored, fully back to God. In our scripture, the Lord didn't just make the water clean. Moses first had to look to the Lord. It was a test. Would the people drink the bitter water? Or would they give up and run back to Egypt? Or would they have faith in the one who had delivered them out of Egypt and parted the seas? Would they now turn to him in their current problem of needing water? Would they believe in God for the answer? And when they do, he shows them what they need to do, which in the, when they obey it by throwing the wood into the water, he heals the water and it gives life to all of them. And then he leads them to springs of water and to all that they need there too. So Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. It's interesting too in our scripture that he teaches them something in this. You know, he takes the moment to teach them about life in this. He says, if you follow my commands and do as I say, I will not bring on you any of the diseases that came upon Egypt. These were the plagues. You know, God isn't saying that you will never get the flu or even cancer. He's saying, follow me and I'll continue to heal the broken things in your life and family and nation. I'll continue to guide you into what is best and bless you and make you into everything you were created to be. When you come to the bitter waters, I'm always going to show you what to do next. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. You know, I think this is a very simple thing, but we overlook it sometimes. It's so important. Life is bitter and things do go sour, and they even are very difficult at times. But we need to first think when those things happen, you know, what has the Lord called me to do? You know, am I walking with the Lord? Am I seeking him in my life? Am I being obedient? Am I praying? Am I putting God first in our family and our marriage and everything? Or am I doing a whole lot of stuff that I shouldn't be doing? And maybe that's causing unnecessary struggles and broken things in my life. Even just the sin inside of me, you know. I need to repent of that. I need to turn back to the Lord. And I got to be willing to do what he tells me to do within his word, that it might go well with me. I've got to be willing to change a few things and not just say that I'm a Christian and that I believe in Jesus, but I got to be willing to live like it. Because what God is saying in our scripture is that his commands and his way is for my benefit. And so I can't just turn to the Lord only in the times when everything falls apart and I need him. I got to live every day following him. And if I do, he's going to guide me around a lot of pitfalls that would bring a lot of brokenness into my life. He's going to help avoid some of those things that I could fall into and heal a lot of those things before I even know they need healing. Just in the daily maintenance of my life, he's going to guide me and lead me if I follow him. So healing begins with humility and turning and following and trusting and obeying God every day and just getting honest about the things that are really going on in our life and doing whatever he tells me to do. There's no healing for your broken marriage or our broken nation until we first come back to God and let him do what only he can do. Everything begins with him. He can do it. He is the healer. Create in us a new heart. Cleanse me, O God, and I will be clean. He is Jehovah Rapha. So the first thing, most important thing, the Lord has come to heal in you and me. The biggest sickness that we got, our most important need, is in our relationship with God and our sin problem, that disease, right? Jesus said, I've not come for the healthy, I've come for the sick. And that is all of us. We're sick with sin and other things. We've turned away from God. And so I want to ask you right now, very first thing that you need to do, and I need to do, are you right with God? And I'm not saying, are you religious or you're trying real hard to do good? No, have you examined your heart, confessed your sins to him, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died on a cross for you? He's the one who can heal you right now. He's the one. Only he can wash away all of your sins and present you before God pure and righteous. Only he can put the Holy Spirit in you, which can heal the source and begin to change you from the inside out and take and give you a clean heart. You don't need more self-help today and just another quick fix. You need God's help today. You need God's help. You were created by him and for him, and he knows you and exactly how you work, and he can get right to the source of that problem and heal the deepest part of you that is broken today. And it begins by coming back to him, putting your faith in him, submitting your way to him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Only he can make us clean. In Christ, we are restored back to God. I love what it says in Isaiah 53:4. It says, he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he, referring to Christ, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, on that cross, we're healed. We are saved by faith in him. Just like Moses had to throw the wood into the water for it to become drinkable and clean, so too, we've got to repent and believe in Jesus. And we are made clean. Our life restored back to God. Everything begins to change. The bitterness in us turned to now love and new purpose. Joy and hope and peace are restored again. He makes all things new in me. He is the medicine that I need. Our position before God is suddenly changed in the moment that we put our faith in him and invite him into our life. Let him do that. First come to God. Let him heal his relationship and your relationship with him. The second thing, though, the Lord really wants to heal today that we got to know is our relationships with others. God cares about that. He invites us to now lay down our life like he laid down his life for us. And we are called to love even our enemies and to do good to those who don't treat us well, to forgive them. Many people this week have shared with me the video of Erica Kirk, who publicly forgave the one who murdered her husband. It was reported that in that memorial service there in Arizona, that stadium of 70,000 people suddenly got this beautiful quiet when she said those words, "I forgive him." When we love, when it's impossible, when only Jesus is really able to do it through us, when we love and forgive and treat one another who've done such harm to us in this divine way, healing comes not just to us, but to others around us in our nation. It spreads. This is the way to heal our nation. It is when we receive the love of Jesus Christ in that begins to heal our broken and hurt hearts, to love and forgive other people. We who have been hurt, we who've had our expectations not met, we who have been upset and angry and bitter in life, and the devil loves to keep reminding us of all the bad things that people have done to us and to get us to hate one another and to point fingers and to cast stones, and we love holding on to bitter water when he's offering us living water if we would just follow him and submit to him. The Lord offers us a new way of being in relationship with the people around us, a new answer, one that will heal those relationships and heal our land. We cannot, our way, make a broken family into a loving home again, but he sure can. He can do it. And so we pray for those who mistreat us. We pray for them every day. We keep doing good to people who don't do good to us. We keep laying down our life like Jesus for them, and he begins to heal things we never thought could be healed. Ephesians 4 says, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what is helpful for building one another up. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as in Christ God has forgiven you. Here is the way. And he's saying, I'll do this in you if you let me. Sometimes we choose the bitter water instead of the living water. But if we go his way, healing will come. The third way the Lord wants to heal in our life is our physical bodies. I believe it. James 5:15 says, the prayer and faith will make the sick person well. And we know that we don't always see the cure that we hope for, but we still pray for it every time. Maybe at times that healing won't be in this life, but in the next. But we can be assured it is there. For the Bible says in heaven there is no more sickness, no more crying or cancer or mourning or pain, no more death. I think of all the beautiful healing stories of Jesus. The lepers who were cleansed, the blind who received sight, the deaf who could suddenly hear, the crippled man who was able to walk for the first time. It says that Jesus went into every village and he preached the gospel to everyone and he healed every disease among the people. Jesus was the Son of God. He had power over disease. He was Jehovah Rapha in the flesh. And even today, we as believers are called to pray in his name. And I have seen the Lord heal many times in my life. I have so many stories of miracles that I have personally seen. But I'm going to give you just one. I have a friend in Canada named Dallas, and he was in his 30s. We were up there when it happened, when he got sick with cancer, and everything just fell apart fast. This young father of two suddenly had a softball-sized tumor connected to so many organs that they told him they had to operate immediately, or there would be no hope. But even if they went in, he says there was hardly any hope. But they did. And so we all as a church, we just prayed for Dallas. And I went to him and prayed with him in the hospital right before he was wheeled away. And all I could pray is, Lord, please help this man. Lord, please save his life, my friend. Save Holly's husband. Save Ian and Rachel's dad. Please, Lord. And he did. A great miracle happened. He shouldn't be alive, and yet he is. And I don't know why some are healed and others aren't in this life, but I've seen God do it so many times. But if Dallas were here today, I'll tell you this. He would tell you the greatest miracle that day was not his body. It was his heart. It was his faith and what God did in him and his family. And for he walked away from God. He had walked away before that. And that was a big wake-up call when his life was about right there at heaven's door. And when he was healed then, he became a whole different person. He was on fire for the Lord. He was humble. He kept seeking the Lord. He read his Bible every day. He became the best husband and father. A servant in our church. He began to see the beauty of life again and help us all see it. I am certain the Lord healed his body that day, but even greater, healed his relationship with him, healed his marriage, healed his relationship with his kids, all in one moment. The Lord healed the whole person. The last way I wanted to mention I see the Lord heal is our hearts and emotions and our minds. We all talk about mental health today, or emotional, or people, who are stuck in grief or anxieties that paralyze them, or even just the heavy weariness of our busy lives. And a couple verses come to mind that shows the Lord is the healer of this. Psalm 34:18, which says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I've experienced that. The man grieving the loss of his wife and can't see a way forward, the Lord comes and hope is given again to his future. Or the way the Lord provides a friend just in the time we need one, or heals a person stuck in depression or discouragement, and or brings, these things that have been deep wounds over decades in their life, speaks truth to them, and suddenly these chains are broken. We can still feel pain in this life, but we're no longer in despair. We can still grieve in this life, but we got it with hope. We can still hurt, but we sure got a new sense of call and purpose in it. There's a peace that comes that we can't make sense of. There's a joy even in the sorrows. There's a life that rises out of death. the Lord heals these things. Another verse that speaks to this is Matthew 11:28, which I often quote, but where Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and overburdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle, humble of heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls." This is healing. I've experienced this rest in my soul, this healing. Some days I can get so tired. Maybe you can too. Just not always sure why I'm so tired, but I'm tired, or my emotions are just really on the surface and so much maybe going on and it's bothering. You know, some days I can just feel sad. Some days overburdened with a load of care. But the Lord comes alongside in every one of those and maybe lifts some of those burdens, says, "Hey, this wasn't meant for you to carry." Or in the midst of my loneliness, says, "Hey, I'm right here with you." Or in the midst of my not understanding what's going on, just comes in and says, "Trust me." And I'm learning to bring every one of those emotions and mental things to God, who is our best friend and our healer, knows exactly what to say and exactly what to do. I want to end this sermon now with just a four-minute clip from the Chosen series. And this is a very moving scene taken straight from John 5, where Jesus heals a man who's been looking in all the wrong places, maybe like us. Jesus comes directly to him, asks him a question that he would ask of all of us. Do you want to be healed?
Shalom. Me? Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk. Free to walk, like he said. Don't forget your bed.
Why does this matter?
Because you're not coming back here. That life is over. Everything changes now.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.